to scripture reading. It'll be from Amos chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. They hate him that rebuketh from the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you built houses of hewn stone, that you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, that you shall not drink wine of them. For I know that your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, they afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time.
Prophet Amos. It's an evil sign. So good to see this good number out this morning. We do have a lot of visitors this morning. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. We're glad everybody's here. Good to see this crowd. We trust we are going to worship God. We have been worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We are part of our worship service now where we reverence God by listening to His Word, studying His Word, making application and changes in our lives. Let's begin Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, as we get settled in there. We're just glad to see everyone this morning. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore, he says, as we have received, or as you have received, he says, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and he says, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. I'll ask the question this morning. How much is $1 trillion? $1 trillion. Think about $1 trillion. Well, if you had $1 million, I know some of us, $1 million, and you had it all in $100 bills, and you took the $1 million and $100 bills, and you stacked them up on top of each other, they would be 40 inches tall. Just a little over a yard high. $100 bills, $1 million. If you had $1 billion in $100 bills, $1 billion in $100 bills would be 40,000 inches tall. Alright? That's over half a mile. That's about half a mile. So $1 billion in $100 bills, that's pretty good fat $100 bills. Now, if you had $1 trillion and had it in $100 bills, it would be 40 million inches, which is 641 miles. That's a stack of $100 bills. $1 trillion in $100 bill stack, that's past the International Space Station. That's up there. 641 miles worth of $100 bills. To give you an idea how much $1 trillion is, if you were born the same day Jesus was born, and you spent $1 million a day since the Lord was born, you still haven't spent that $1 trillion. Yeah, that's a lot of money. This past week on April 17th, on that Tuesday, our government by then took in $2 trillion in income tax. Makes you wonder how they run out of money. That's a pile of money. That's a bunch of money. Makes me wonder when I sent my check off, what they want my little bit, when they got that much money coming in. You know, Uncle Sam doesn't matter though. He's always, it seems like he's short in the revenue department. Our government's always short of money. And you know what? I hope most of us contributed to the fund this past Tuesday. If you didn't, you're in trouble. Usually April 15th is the big day. That fell on a Sunday. Plus there were some other holidays that came in on the screen. So you have till Tuesday to write that check. But the bottom line is you needed to write that check. Like it or not, we all did. We all paid into the government. We all pay our income taxes. As right that we should. I haven't met anybody that says, well, I just love to pay taxes. This is one of the things that's on my list. I love to pay taxes. It hit me this past Monday when I wrote my check to the United States Treasury. I wasn't bound against that shit. I don't know why I call this tax. Abounding always in Thanksgiving, and I dropped that in the mail slot. Well, actually, she waited down there and sent it all. This morning, I'm going to ask you if you can actually be thankful for taxes. Colossians 2:7 says we should abound in Thanksgiving. Do we count taxes as a blessing? That's a blessing now. I've never counted till this week, I never thought about it much, about the taxes that we pay. The Bible says you got to pay them. The government says you got to pay them. Ben Franklin says that they're just as sure as death that they're going to pay them, but nobody counts taxes as a blessing. This morning, I want you to rethink that. I want you to rethink about taxes. I want you to rethink about tax structure. I want you to rethink your idea about taxes. And again, on the outset, I want to give a disclaimer. First and foremost, this is not a political discussion. We're not going to talk about whether we ought to have more taxes. We're not going to talk about whether there ought to be a tax cut, whether taxes ought to be progressive, whether taxes ought to be regressive. We're not going to do all that. It's not the place for that. I'm going to leave the politicians to do that. We're not going to be talking about that at all. One of the things is, though, that look at that, taxes are really a reality of our lives. This morning, I want us to think about what Paul told the Colossian brethren. I want us to think what he told the folks in Thessalonians, too, that we are to abound in thanksgiving. That's our attitude. That's our spirit, even when we pay taxes. You know, I know, secondly, that somebody's going to tell me out there at the back door going out that we're going to grumble about taxes. We're going to grumble about waste and how much our government wastes our tax dollars. I want you to know that I'm keenly aware of that. And I know that we waste money. Look at the National Science Foundation. This past year spent $300,000 on a landmark study that said that girls play with Barbie dolls more than boys. And I want you to know that I could have saved the government a lot of money. If I had that, I could have concluded that. I could probably also throw in a bonus that Ken started hanging out at the beach house with Barbie. He wants to go in the Army and be a G.I. Joe guy. There's a lot of illustrations that we can come up with government waste. I'm reminded of the senator who said, hey, $1 million here, $1 million there. Pretty soon you talk about some real money. You start thinking about that, and I think about the folks down in Charleston, and I think about the folks in Washington, D.C., and sometimes I do wonder about what they spend our money on. It concerns me. I think about that, and all that goes with that, but despite all of that, despite the government waste, despite all of that, in all of that, can I be thankful? Should I be thankful as a Christian walking on this in this country? But I want to be thankful. And I want to challenge you. Is that a challenge to be thankful for the things that I've just mentioned? I think it is. I'll tell you what's more challenging is write a lesson on it and a sermon on it and deliver it to you. But I've got 7 things this morning that I want you to be thankful about. When you consider taxes, and since we're red hot first Sunday after we've all done that, thought it might be a good time to talk about that. Number one, I think paying taxes, I think that it is a serious test of our commitment to discipleship. I think it's a serious test for us. When you pay your tax, Paul in Philippians chapter 2, he says this in verse 14. He says, do all things without grumbling and without disputing. All things. Now, I don't have a footnote in my Bible, and you probably don't either, that it's okay to grumble about taxes. He says all things. When you say all, that means just about everything. Now, let's look at the background of that passage that he's talking about. Look at Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, if you or I lived in the New Testament times when the Lord walked on the earth, we would be living under the time of the system of Roman taxation. Jesus and his apostles lived under that time. And that was really, I want to look at verse 16. Well, or Mark chapter 2, verse 16. He says, when the scribes and Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors? And of course, he equates those tax collectors with sinners. Now, what happened in Jesus' day? I don't know if I can get across to you in words just how much in the Lord's time they hated tax collectors. They hated taxes with a passion. And the reason they did it is because the system was so corrupt and so unfair. What happened in the Roman world of taxation is that a rich guy would approach the council, the government, the Roman government, and a rich guy would buy a parcel or like a province. And what he would say, he would bid on an area. that he's been on Jackson County. And he would say that he is, this is how much I believe this area is worth as far as taxation goes. And what he would do is they would bid for the, a province or an area. And then, once winning the bid, he would write a check. Yeah, he'd write a check. He would pay the Roman government for that area, alright, up front. So Rome always got their taxes. Then what he would do, in any way that he would want to do, he would be the tax man for that province, alright? And so that meant that he could go and he could tax you. And really the problem with that kind of taxation was that the government really didn't specify on how much of the return was fair. In other words, the fellow that owned that province or that area, he could pretty much just do and say whatever he wanted, what he thought was fair, and so he pretty well had a blank check with what he wanted to charge you. Alright? So you could go, you know, you might have crossed this bridge 100 times, and then John Doe just bought the deal, and there's a guy with a little toll booth set up, and you're going, what's going on? Well, he's got a toll today. We're going to tax you for crossing the bridge. And you can go to the store, you're the salt guy, you're selling salt. Hey, today, if you're lucky today, it's salt tax day. And he can tax you on a whim. You're selling that to him, we're going to have sales tax. There was temple tax. There was tax all over the place during the Lord's time. That's what made it so corrupt. Everywhere in the New Testament. And when you look at it, we talked about Zacchaeus a little bit last week. He's a tax collector. Hated. That's why they were hated so much. It was so corrupt, so evil when they did that. The estimates vary, I think. They range from, as far as the private citizen goes, during the time that the Lord walked on the earth, as much as 40% of your income was taxed. And that's right off the top. There's no W-2s, there's no write-off, all right? So 40% of your income was taxed. That was about the average. And it's very difficult, it's very hard. What did Jesus say about that? What did the Lord say about that? Matthew 22. Notice Jesus, Matthew 22. Notice what Jesus said about taxation. Look what he says in verse 16. He says, and they sent their disciples to him along with Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and do not defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. Well, tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to give a tax to Caesar or not? Well, there's the bull horn. There's the horns of dilemma. If I say don't pay the taxes, all right, the Roman government's going to come down on me. If I say do pay the taxes, then you're really kind of just giving in to the corrupt way, the awful way, the system that's hated so much. Verse 18, Jesus perceived malice and said, why are you testing me, you hypocrite? He said, show me the coin used for the tax. Well, they brought him a denarius. He said to them, whose likeness and description is on this? They said to him, Caesar. He said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God. Right. That's what the Lord said. The Lord said, pay your taxes. Jesus makes the point that you need to pay your taxes. Jesus paid, Matthew records, that Jesus paid the temple tax. Never read about the Lord bellyaching about that. Never read about the Lord complaining about that. Guess what you and I need to do? We need to pay our taxes. And we don't need to cry about it. We don't need to bellyache about it. We don't need to moan about it. And that means being a Christian means that I need to do not only what I find acceptable, what I think is acceptable when I read the New Testament. Oh, I'm all for this. I'm going to do that. Oh, Jesus wants me to do that. Well, I'm going to bellyache, cry, and moan about that and go ahead and do it. No. No. I'm going to do it because Jesus told me to do it. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus tells us to do that with thanksgiving, without complaining, without crying, through the Apostle Paul in both the Colossian letter as well as the Thessalonian letter. What else did Jesus say? Give people whatever it is. Give the Lord whatever's worth. You know what? This past Monday, I got a chance. I got a chance to check my commitment. I got a chance to check my commitment as a disciple of Christ. That I'm going to do what God's Word says. And I'm going to do it how God's Word said. I didn't learn. That's what made me come. I follow Jesus Christ. I follow His instructions. This tested my discipleship. What else? Those taxes give us an opportunity to participate in the goods and services I believe that we all enjoy. Did you like driving on the highway when you came here today? Did you? You go past the fire department. You go past the school where you went to school. How about the kids? You go by that school? Go down there. You ever been to the National Park? Right in the library? Right watching public TV? You take medicine that's been discovered by a government funded medical firm that come up with something that you're taking? You know, if you're a vegan, you need Oreo cookies. You don't read on there. There's labels how much fat stuff in there. Where'd that come from? How'd that come about? And that meat you buy, the stamp, USDA inspected, all that. That way there's no contaminants and bacteria in your meat.
Uh-huh.
What about what we watch on TV? What about the internet? What about all those satellites up there, NASA? All that. You ever get on an airplane? I'm glad there's those guys at aircraft control. Their son-in-law didn't say anything what he does. You never have control. We're not running into each other up there. Yeah, think about that. All of those things that we enjoy and really take for granted. You know, part of the problem when we pay for our taxes. Mine went to Connecticut, I think. It's a P.O. box. There you go. A P.O. box, Connecticut. Check's gone. Everything's gone. We really don't see what happened, do we? It just kind of dissolved. Everything you can put in there. I think that's a problem. There you go. Make the donation to Connecticut. I could have used it here. Acts 24. Things just seem to evaporate when you send that money off, doesn't it? Tertullus is a guy, he's not a great guy, but he's aware, I believe, of a function and a place in government in our society. He recognizes, I think, that the government does some very good things. Look at verse 2. Acts 24, verse 2. And Paul, he'd been summoned. Tertullus began to accuse him, saying to the government, "Since we have, through you, Governor, attained much peace, and since by your providence, Governor, reforms are being carried out for this nation," so Tertullus understood that there's some good things that government does. There's some good things that function in the government. You and I need to understand that our tax dollars, we purchase things that and keep things running in these United States that makes us the envy of the entire world, really. Our highway system, our parks, our federal law enforcement, on and on we go. And we talk about schools, and we talk about education. All the Bible needs to be in schools. There's debate about that. Separation of church and state. But when you think about our public education system, and that's always right in the federal budget, every year there's always discussion. How much, what percentage should go here, should go there, what should be spent on it? But you know, I think about it, aren't we people that are interested in God's Word? Are we interested in what the Bible says? Are we concerned about what the Bible says? And you know what? I'm all for education. I'm for education. I want people to be able to read. I want them to read what the Bible says. And on top of that, the Bible teaches a work ethic. And I want people to be literate. I want people to have ability. I want people to have skills and knowledge that only comes through public education. So that principle behind support, work, your family, that's how that works. I don't want people that are ignorant, that don't know how to do anything, don't know how to better themselves. I want people with marketable skills. So folks, I'm all for education. I'm for public education. I'm for doing that. You know, not only education, but what about a national park system? What about it? You ever been in a national park? That's going to give me a nice bucket list. We're going to do the Social Security tour in a DeLorean. We're going to go to Yosemite, all that stuff. I've been to the Grand Canyon. We're going to do that tour. And I know where a fan's treasure is. You know that? That's one hitting the Rockies. $2 million is in that little thing. I know where it is. I'm going to take my metal check. I'm going to find that. $2 million. I'm going to come back, put a mill in the plate, get a new building. Then I'm going to take the other mill. I'm going to buy me about a 40-footer. Fish or blue marlin off the big rocks of the Lord town. That's my plan. Huh? I got all that. Listen, I tell you this. I don't want that land so long. I want to see that. I want to preserve that. I want to preserve that for my kids. I want to preserve that for my grandkids. I don't want somebody buying that, putting up walls, saying you can't come. But once that, level it, put up mall, and sell that on top. We don't want that. We want that preserved. Well, you know, a big complaint about people with our government and our taxes and our dollars to go away. You know, we support a lot of people that aren't working. Yes, they're lazy, they're freeloaders. All right, let me ask you this. You know, when I send my kids to school, When I go to the national park, and when I drive on the highway, when I fly safely, you pay for that. Who pays for that? You don't want to pay for that? Well, if you don't want to pay for that, what are you? You're a freeloader. You want to go that free, you see. All right. Think about that way. All the good things we enjoy in this grand country that we live in, folks, need to be paid for. All right? And income tax, guess what you do? You get a chance to do that. Something else that hit me that we get a chance to do when we do that, we get to thank our service. You know, we talk a lot about, we pray about our servicemen. Randall's involved in that real heavy. So is Dave and our disabled veterans and all of that. And we pray and we hear a lot of discussion about soldiers in home way. But I want to tell you something. I believe it or not, I like the expression, you put your money where your mouth is. And have you ever thought about what it costs to defend this country? You ever thought about it? Anybody know what the last aircraft carrier that this country built? You know what it cost? Do you know how much it costs per day to have 6,000 sailors on top of that aircraft carrier? Do you know how much it costs to have soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq and all of that? How much ammo does that take? Do you ever think about all that? That came to the world's best military forces. Think about that. Sometimes we say that freedom's not free. And when we say that, a lot of times we say, what? Well, it's about those that gave the ultimate sacrifice. They gave their lives so that we can sit in assembly like this without fear. And that's true. But freedom is not free in a very real sense. It costs money to have a standing military force. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter was hoping that Christians could live in a society like we're living in now. Verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether a king as one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king, he said. Now, Peter was hoping that the government that he lived under, that would produce, and by obeying the laws, by being that way, that they would enjoy the civil liberties, they would enjoy the civil opportunities and freedoms that you and I enjoy. Now, unfortunately, in Peter's lifetime, that didn't happen. That didn't happen because actually the church during Peter's lifetime was relentlessly persecuted. Now, nobody in this room has ever had to face that. We never had to deal with that. And the reason for that is because we have the greatest military force in the world. In the 40s, Nazi Germany would have changed everything about the world that we live in if we did not have the military that we have. And if they didn't do it, the Soviet Union would certainly have been glad to do it. And if they didn't do it, China would be glad to do it, folks. They're always knocking at the door. And they want the world that we live in. And they want how we live to be changed. Everything about our culture and society, they want to be changed. You see the announcement last week, China. Now you can't go online in China, like an online store like Amazon, and buy a Bible. You can't do it now. It's restricted. It's against the law to buy a Bible in China now through that way. And so that's just part of removing the regulations of Communist China. They're putting regulations on Christianity, tightening Christianity. Our brethren there don't enjoy the things that we enjoy. And we don't think about it. We don't think about the reason that we enjoy those things. They're always knocking on the door. Why don't you think Sandyville's a war zone? Why don't you think it's here? Because we keep it over there. Our military keeps it over there. What goes into that? But our military is enormously effective. They're a deterrent. They keep the bad guys away. They keep them over there. Now, what goes there? That costs a lot of money. A lot of money. That last aircraft carrier, $13 billion. $13 billion. That's about 20 miles of a $100 bill. And it costs $2 million a day to keep 6,000 sailors on one ship. Think about that. I'll tell you what, I ain't got that kind of money. I just don't have it. I don't have that kind of money. And I don't have enough money to pay soldiers to suit up and stand guard for me. I don't have it. And this past week, I was glad I could write a check and that we can all pull our funds together and have what we have. And maybe think about that. I'm thankful to God for our servicemen and our servicewomen. And I'm thankful I got up this morning and walked over here. I didn't worry about a thing. I wasn't worried about a thing. Anything happening to me, I'm thankful to God. I can buy a Bible that I can do the things. I'm thankful for the freedom I have. And the reason I have it is because of the tax dollars that was sent in. I got to put my money where my mouth is and support the military of this great country. Just think of it that way. I have to say this. It does give me a chance to obey the law. We can't talk about taxes without going to Romans 13. Can't preach on taxes without Romans 13. So let's just do it right now. Paul addresses an issue of the day in Romans 13 that is actually an issue of today. All right? Notice what he says. Verse 1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authority. For those that is no authority, for there's no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. All right? No rulers, verse 3. For rulers are not called to fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? He says, do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For if it does not bear the sword for nothing, it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Now you look at that, you read that. Verse 5, therefore he says, it is necessary to be in subjection not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. That's pretty fundamental. When you read that, it looks real good. Kind of an academic discussion about authority, about taxes, about those that have rule over us. And you look at that. So what, Paul, what do you mean by all that? All right, let's get real about that. All right. What's he said? Let's make an application now to you and I in our everyday life. Verse 6. For because of this, you pay taxes. All of this, you pay taxes for rulers as servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. There's always conversations about government and taxes. There's always conversations that our tax dollars go to bad things. And you think about that, funding abortion. That's bad, that's terrible, that's sinful, that's awful. And usually the next thing you said is what? I don't want to pay taxes because they do bad things. They're doing things that I don't agree with. I don't want that to happen. And you know, you think about how our government is so wicked sometimes and so awful what's being funded. He says, pay your taxes. He says, pay your taxes. Why is that? Why is that? Because you and I, we're law-abiding citizens. That's why. We pay our taxes because we're law-abiding citizens, and we pay them even though, hey, I agree with everything, I'm going to pay it. Or, here, think Paul agreed with everything that's going on in the Roman government? No. Paul says, the very same thing that I hear people say about what's going on in our government, Paul says, pay them anyway. When we abide in the laws that we think they ought to be doing, we pay it. When we're doing the things that we don't think they ought to be doing, we pay it. When I send my tax money, I'm making exactly the same statement Paul's making. Christians respond and respect the what? The law of the land. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. Whatever. Typically, I think when I did this, you know, my tax dollars go to people to help people that are less fortunate. All of us know what Galatians 6:10 says. When you talk about what we ought to do as Christians, Paul says that. He addresses that. And all through the Old Testament, it's addressed about those that are oppressed, those that are less fortunate than you are. And you think about the widow, the orphan, and those that are poor. Paul makes a statement in Galatians 6:10. He says this, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially the household of faith. Now, when I think about Galatians 6:10, I think about opportunities that I know about. I think about opportunities that come from being in the body of Christ. I think about opportunities that are outside that are only opportunities to me individually. I think about, and immediately when I have those opportunities, I've never had a gut reaction that says, well, I'm not helping. My first instinct is, I want to help. As Christians, the first instinct that we have is, when you see someone in need, poor, destitute, to use your help, And if you have the ability to help and the opportunity to help, seek help. That's the automatic reaction that we have. Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy. Turn over there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. He addresses this very idea. Look at verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. He says, instruct those that are rich, that's us, in the present world, not to be concerned to fix their hope on uncertain riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Now, here's the instruction. That's to do good. To be rich in good work, to be generous and ready to share. That's what we want to do. We want to share. We want to help. That's our automatic reaction. Now, paying taxes gives you the opportunity to help. 9%. 9% of the federal budget goes to spending social safety net programs. Some with elderly, help the elderly, disabled, unemployment insurance, food stamps, school meals, low-income housing, child care assistance, people that need help on their energy bill, all kinds of these various programs. They got about here. Listen, yes. Oh, yes, I know. There are a lot of people that get those checks that don't deserve it. Oh, yeah. The scammers, fraudulent, mailbox farmers, they're out there. They're no good. Yeah, lazy, won't work, terrible. People like that shouldn't get the money. They're getting the money. You know who else gets the money? Some people that are in genuine need get the money. The elderly that can't pay the bills. The elderly that can't buy medication. Kids that couldn't eat a meal a day at the house, they get fed breakfast and lunch at school because they're too poor to have. Alright? And those people. People out of work. People can't afford basic health care. That's who gets that money too. You know what? I think we give ourselves a pass on everybody. Because we've decided everybody's fraudulent. And everybody's scammers. And nobody deserves it. You better rethink that. I'm telling you, as a Christian, you need to rethink that. The government sent pictures on Facebook like I see all the time of people starved to death in this country. We have a GoFundMe page right now. Now, the government is doing the best they can. However clumsily, however much you disagree about it, however awkwardly they're doing that, I don't know everybody in America needs help, do you? I'm going to get an opportunity to help everybody in this country. Do you? Will you? You know, when I write that check, when I pay my taxes, that gives me an opportunity to do that. I'm glad to do that. The government can assist those folks who are in need. I can assist folks who are in need. Taxes give me that opportunity. Another point is that I get a chance to demonstrate my honesty when I pay taxes. My integrity. When I pay taxes. Luke 16. Jesus gives this principle. Look what he says in Luke 16, verse 10. Jesus says this, he was faithful in a very little thing, is faithful also in much. Faithful in little, faithful in much. And he was unrighteous in very little thing, is unrighteous also in much. People of God major in honesty and integrity. We do. You know why we do? Because that's who God is. Can you imagine Jesus going into the sandal shop and getting changed back from his sandals and it's too much and put it in his pocket and grinned? Walked out. Hey, all right, made out on that. Huh? Got more change than two. We can't imagine that. We can't think that way. Can you imagine Jesus burning Caesar's? Huh? Touch a little bit there. Huh? Can you imagine Jesus thinking that way? No. Down for him. But unfortunately, a lot of us have decided that it's all right. 16% of Americans think it's all right to cheat on your tax. To lie about what you pay for your tax. And usually it's what they stop. Oh, the government wastes money. The government does that. They give you this. They give you that. I don't agree with all that. Companies don't pay. Rich people don't pay. So I'm not going to pay. Government wastes. They spend it on dumb stuff. Rich cheat, poor cheat, everybody cheats. I'm going to cheat. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. We have to be faithful in all things. If you're faithful in those little things, you'll be faithful in much. That's what the Lord's point is. What's that? We determine to be faithful every day. Each and every day. Why? Why is that? Because we are the people of God. show integrity in everything that we do. One writer said this, as the perception that others cheat becomes more prevalent, people are more likely to see fudging on their taxes as a morally gray area. I'll tell you something. There's nothing morally gray about doing your taxes. There's not. You're either a liar or you're not. It's either accepted or it's not. And that's what the honesty that says. And I look at that. Am I going to render the Caesar what Caesar? But I think it's the norm, the fact is the norm, to think different. I can rejoice. And I can be thankful for what I did this past week. You can too. You know what? One of the reasons was I was able to resist temptation. I didn't cheat. Now I might get a knock on the door next week, but it won't be because I didn't do my level best. All right? Finally, wrap this thing up by just saying this. You know what? If you don't lie, I guess the reason that you pay income tax is, have you ever thought about it? It's because you had income. That's why you pay income tax. If you don't like paying taxes, if you don't want to pay taxes, if you hate everything about what the government is involved in, here you go. Don't have any income. Yeah, I know that's deep. Stay with me just a little bit. But you know what? We might disagree with the portion that they took and the bracket that they fell in and all of that. But you know what? We've been blessed with so much. We've been blessed with so much. Every good and perfect gift, James says, comes from the Father of life. You know what this past week it did for me? I'm amazed at the awesome country that I live in. It's caused me to think about the things that I've told you this morning. And I think about how I responded at first about what I did. Maybe you did the same thing. But, you know, I think I'm not mad now. And I'm not grumbling now. When I see what the Word of God says about it. And what I need to do is be humble and be thankful for the blessings that I have to live in the country and to have the freedoms that I have in this country. And you know what? To do that, I got to pay the share. I want to pay my share. Be blessed with what I have. All that income, give back that portion. We can all do our part. Let's get a song book out. There's seven reasons. You know, I get it. Preachers have to pay taxes too. And I know the complaining about taxes is as American as apple pie and chivalry. I know all that. But when you look at taxes and what taxes are being spent on in this country, really a lot of those things are the very things that as disciples of Christ we give anyway. We would do anyway as Christians following Jesus. You know what? In all of it, He gives us an opportunity to do what God says. And you know what I can do? I can abound in thanksgiving that I have the opportunity, that I have the ability to do that. Folks, I want to count a blessings in all things, even when it comes to paying taxes. Jesus said, he that believes in his baptized shall be saved. That's not taxing. There's no tax in that. You need to be a follower of Christ. You need to become a Christian today if you're outside of Christ. If you have not obeyed the gospel, the Bible says that you are lost. You need the prayers of this congregation of Christ if you've fallen away. Please come as together we stand and pray.